In today's gospel, the risen Christ again appears to his disciples and forgives and commissions Peter to care for his flock. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you will find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore, full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." He then said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." "Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Not too long ago, I had occasion to be thumbing through a book of photographs from the Vietnam War. Now, many of you younger people here don't remember that time very well, but it was a time of great turmoil and division in our country. The photographs were basically war photographs taken by war correspondents and really captured the horror of any war, but of that particular conflict especially. But there was one of those photographs that really jumped out at me because it had been a very famous photograph at the time it was taken. In fact, it appeared on the cover of many magazines and newspapers all throughout the world. It was a picture of this little girl running down the street of a village in Vietnam with her arms thrown wide open, yelling and crying and screaming, and the shirt burnt off of her body from napalm. The shirt just burnt right off of her body, and she's agonizingly running down the street. Little girl's name, it turned out, was Kim. She was 9 years old. Now, when that photograph became publicized, the pilot of the plane who had dropped the napalm was a man named John Plummer. And that particular day, he had received bad intelligence, wrong intelligence. He had been told that there was nobody in that village except Viet Cong. That's why he had dropped the napalm there. Turned out the intelligence was wrong. There were villagers still there. And that was this little girl, one of them. When he saw that photograph, it destroyed him. Just destroyed him as a person. He felt so awful, so terrible. I mean, imagine if you're the person who knows you pushed the button that dropped the napalm that agonizingly had damaged that little girl. Imagine how that would make you feel. His family and friends said to him, you know, you're not responsible for this. You got bad intelligence. You didn't know anybody was there. You didn't do this deliberately. And all of that was true, but he couldn't get it out of his mind and heart. He became an alcoholic. His life was in shatters. And then, in the year 1996, and I don't remember all the details of this, but in 1996, somebody arranged for him to actually meet that young woman. She now was a young woman. He was in his mid-40s. So they met, and I forget where it was exactly, but as he walked up to her and he saw her, still covered with scars from that bombing, he began to weep. He cried. He was just unable to be consoled. And through his tears, he said to her, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And she looked at him and said, I forgive you. And she embraced him. And he said that for him was a moment when he could begin living again. His life began again at that moment. That was a moment of redemption. I think we see something very similar to that happening in today's gospel. Christ and Peter. Peter, who had denied Jesus 3 times, the same Peter who had said just a few days before, Lord, I will never desert you. I'll even die for you. That same Peter, in the moment of Christ's greatest need, denied him and abandoned him. And now there they are on the seashore together. And in his great wisdom, Christ says to Peter 3 times, do you love me? 3 times Peter had denied him. Now 3 times he's given the opportunity to say he loves him. And you notice how, at the end of all that, what Jesus says to Peter, it's the same thing he had said to Peter when he first called him. Remember on the Sea of Galilee when Jesus calls Peter and James and John? What does he say to them? What does he say to Peter? Follow me. Now, after Peter has professed once again his love for Christ, what does Jesus say to him? Follow me. In other words, what Jesus is saying to Peter is, Peter, let's start again. Let's start anew. Let's forget the past. I forgive you. Follow me. It's a moment of redemption for Peter, beginning of new life for Peter in the mercy of Christ. The wonderful thing about all of that is that same mercy is available to you and me. If we need it, whenever we need it, All we have to do is say we're sorry. And Christ is going to say to us, follow me. Let's start again. Let's not let the past get in our way. Follow me. Let's begin anew. You know, giving forgiveness, especially to somebody very close to you who's hurt you, isn't easy. Think about Kim. You know, that day that she experienced that horrible burning herself, in that village she lost two brothers. Two brothers were killed. She was able to forgive. Must not have been easy for her. But I expect it was equally hard for John Plummer. He knew he needed to be forgiven, but you know, to admit that we need to be forgiven when we do is very hard. To admit we've been weak, to admit we've failed, that's hard. But if we don't admit that and express sorrow for it, we can't be forgiven. But when we do, redemption, new life. You know what I think? I think that when somebody from the depth of their heart says, I'm sorry, and somebody else from the depth of their heart says, I forgive you, you know what I think happens? The stone is rolled back from the tomb once again. Stone is rolled back, new life begins. Redemption. That's what happens. And that's ours in the mercy of Christ. I'd like to take just a few moments this morning on another subject. You know, most of you probably have now received envelopes from the diocese in regard to the New Hampshire Catholic Appeal, the major fundraising drive of the diocese every year. And you know that this fundraising drive is a combination of the old Catholic Charities drive put together with several other diocesan-wide collections that have been merged into one Catholic Appeal. The other collections were things like the Priest Retirement Fund, the Vocation Seminarian Fund, the fund we use to support poor parishes that can't support themselves, all that rolled into one. So I'd ask you as you think about that this year to do the best you can to once again be generous in your response. I know it's a difficult year for all of us. We're worried about our IRAs. We're worried about the cost of food. We're worried about what's going to happen 2 months from now. But, you know, all these various agencies that are supported by the New Hampshire Appeal are experiencing the same problems, the same questions. Just to give you a couple of examples, you know that New Hampshire Catholic Charities, which receives one-third of the Catholic Appeal, goes right to Catholic Charities. You know that they sponsor the food bank, which delivers food around the whole state of New Hampshire, to various food pantries and so forth. The food bank in Manchester has been deprived of $1 million in grants this year. $1 million from the government, various government cuts that have been made. Food bank won't have that. You know, a lot of that money the food bank got, and this is another ripple effect of it, was used to buy fruits and vegetables from local farmers. Won't have that this year. What's that mean for people who don't have enough to eat? Or think about Victory House. Victory House is run by Catholic Charities again in support of veterans who are homeless, veterans who need medical care, who have maybe some substance abuse problems. They can come there, live there for a while. You know, the VA has suffered some cuts too. What about those veterans? Who makes up for the cuts? So those are just two examples. So in spite of our own uncertitude, I'd ask you to do the best you can. This is an assessed collection. It means that each parish is assessed a certain amount based on their previous year's offertory. Our assessment this year is about $53,000. So let's hope that we can together meet that assessment. If we do better than the assessment, then 90% of anything we raise above that $53,000 stays in the parish. In the past couple of years, we've actually been able to use, you were so generous in the past couple of years that each year we raised approximately $70,000. So that extra money stayed in the parish, and it will again this year if we can do that. So again, thinking about our own uncertitudes, think about all the other people, all the people out there who have the same uncertitudes and can't do anything about them. So just do the best you can, and let's pray for the success of this appeal throughout the diocese. Oh, by the way, I forgot this. If you should have received envelopes in the mail if you're a registered parishioner. If you didn't, there are on the tables out in the gathering space envelopes that you could use to make your contribution this year to the appeal.